Blog Talk Radio.
Anyone who's listening to the very first episode of Eerie House, okay? Eerie House, hosted by me, Dale Kay, and any callers want to call in, that's great. If not, no problem. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff today, but before I get too deeply into the show, I want to mention to everyone that, of course, it's pretty well known that the creepy castle is now a thing of the past. My partners have moved on, and I'm going to miss them very much. Halloween Jacqueline for her wonderful media and expertise in photo manipulation. Mr. Maniacal, haunter extraordinaire, and also a webmaster and designer. And also, of course, Halloween Jack. As far as programming and writing clever material, you're not going to find too many better, if any. So, folks, I'll miss you. It was a great run we had with Creepy Castle, but it is time to move forward. And there's a lot to talk about today. Our topic is going to be villainesses and bad girls. Bad girls. I'll tell you, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Good girls are good. Sometimes bad girls are better. And David Binkley in the chat has pointed out evil women. Is this show about ex-wives? I guess it is. So there, it's a sounding board. Let's complain about our past, shall we? Nah, not worth our time. So, moving forward, anyone who's listening in the Northeast Ohio area, or even if you're not in the Northeast Ohio area and you're planning on going to Monster Fest Mania, just call in today at any time. Don't wait for a prompt. Call in at any time at 646-378-0264, and you'll win tickets to Monster Fest Mania, the classic horror and sci-fi show. It's going to be in Akron, Ohio, at the Quaker Station, and that's going to be July 29th and July 30th. That's coming around the corner. There's lots of great events. I'll be there. At least one of my ex-partners will be there. Horror hosts galore, and lots of fun. So, without further ado, let's dive right into our topic here. Villainesses and bad girls, and gosh, where do we start? I had to include the Bride of Frankenstein. Now, hard to call her a villainess. She didn't really have a speaking role, other than a few screams. But she did do something very, very naughty, I thought. She spurned Boris Karloff, the monster. And it was horrible. Pushed him over the edge, blew up a castle, how ironic. And and that was just not nice of her. You know, it's Boris, come on. There's been a lot of ladies who have terrified us in the films, and I hope you're thinking about your favorites. You can call in and talk to me about them or listen to me blather on. Your choice. I'll tell you, as a youngster, one of the people who really scared the living bejesus out of me was Bette Davis in the movie The Nanny. You might want to not call that a horror film per se, but still chilling nonetheless. It's the story of a young boy who had been accused of or thought to have killed his sister in a in a bathtub accident. And Bette Davis chillingly plays an English nanny in charge of him. Now, this emotionally disturbed young fella claims that the nanny did it, and really no one believes him except a particular neighbor. And I won't spoil the movie any further, but you really need to see this. It's from 1965, filmed in glorious black and white. And I remember as a I want to say maybe 6 or 7 year old when it finally came to television, being absolutely terrified by Bette Davis in that film. Very good one. Directed by Seth Holt, so don't miss it if you can. Not a whole lot of roles for the ladies in the early days, but another film of note that features a femme fatale is Dracula's Daughter. Very good film with Gloria Holden playing Dracula's daughter. Now, the film is a direct sequel to Dracula. In fact, Edward Van Sloan plays Van Helsing once again. And the film was a little controversial in its time. There were supposed overtones of lesbianism in the film, which, of course, back in those days, people were not accepting of alternative lifestyles, or what some folks call alternative lifestyles. I don't see a whole lot of that. Yeah, there's a scene where it's a little uncomfortable, perhaps. But all in all, a pretty good film. Gloria Holden's character, again, not completely evil. It seems like her bad ways were somewhat out of her control by being the daughter of Dracula. Another film you don't want to miss. Throughout the 40s, 50s, and 60s, more so the 40s and 50s, not a whole lot of female villains, but you can't miss folks like the She Creature. That was a good movie. We got a caller from Northeast Ohio. Perhaps someone calling in for tickets. Let's find out. Welcome, caller. Thanks for calling Erie House.
Yeah, Dale. Can I get tickets?
No, you can't. I know who this is. And you get nothing. In the words of Willy Wonka, you get nothing.
Story of my life. The story of my life.
That's what you get for drinking the fizzy lifting drinks, okay?
I didn't leave many fingerprints, honest. They were there before I got there.
Okay, all right, fine. No, to my understanding, you're getting in anyway as a fellow host.
Yes, I am.
Folks want to welcome David Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie to the show. Hi, David.
Hey, Dale. Hey, you know, I thought it was interesting you started off with The Bride of Frankenstein and talked about how she spurred Boris Karloff. You know, if she ever looked in a mirror, she would not have had the right to do that.
I don't know. I found her oddly attractive, maybe just knowing Elsa Lancaster was in the makeup.
Well, you got to look through a lot of makeup to see that, though.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the hairstyle was out of control for its day, but by today's standards, probably not all that outlandish and weird.
Well, that's your Blanche DuBois haircut there, hairstyle from The Simpsons, so, you know. Mark Simpson.
It could be. Hey, David, you mind if we take another caller?
Absolutely.
I don't want to step on your time, and thank you for
calling.
No.
Actually, because I did want to make sure I got to one as you were or before you did. Go ahead. Bring him in.
And I cannot tell what area of the planet this caller's calling from because it's coming up as all ones. Hi, caller. Thanks for calling Creepy Cat. Oops. I mean Erie House.
Old habits die hard.
Welcome, caller. Hello? Perhaps we don't have a good connection. I'll try one more time. Hi, caller from the 1111111.
I think I was AT&T trying to cut you off.
I almost thought I heard CW there, so that it could be, and it could be a bad connection. Hopefully, whomever you are, call us back, especially if you're trying to win tickets to Monster Fest Mania, because you'll meet Mr. Binkley here from Weirdness Really Bad and myself, and again, a host of hosts. So thanks for calling. But we can't hear you. Maybe it's a female villain trying to thwart us.
Perhaps they should try and call back, and that'll get them back in.
Yeah, try again, caller. I think they hung up, and hopefully they'll call right back, and we'll get a better connection. Especially if they're trying to get tickets. I wanna I want to see people having fun at this convention because it's so cool that a convention is coming to Ohio that pays homage to classic horror films. You know, we have some other venues. One focuses primarily on a specific host who is very deserving, of course, the great Goulardi. And Cinema Wasteland is fun, but it's a little dark for me. Not that I don't like those movies, but the horror host in me likes the family-friendly aspect of watching classic horror films. And I think our caller tried to return, so let's let him back in. Hi, caller. Welcome to Creepy Castle. Oops, I did it again. Eerie House.
Oh, hello. This is CW. Said I would call in, and you're going to have to put. I'm going to have to put you on hold. Just a moment.
Oh.
See, she is evil, Dale.
I'm telling you.
I know her.
Hold,
she answers the phone at every place I call.
Yeah. And again, that's just
CW.
Another sign that women.
CW, back from the beyond, and I heard that comment about females, you know.
You're evil. You put us on hold.
Well,
I'm worth the wait.
Guys just hang up on me. The females put me on hold.
Yes.
But this is now the Eerie House?
This is now Eerie House, and this is episode number one, yes.
Very good. Episode number one. Well, smooth sailing with the Eerie House.
Thank you.
Best of luck and all that.
You know, Dale, it's interesting. You got a lady to call in to tell you about talk about the best female heavies.
Well, let me share something else and make a confession here. It was at CW's suggestion that I used today's topic. And I thought, well, it's a great idea. We've talked about women in horror, but we never really focused, I think, that I recall, when this was known by another name, this show, on the bad side of female actresses in horror films.
Yeah. And I kind of my favorites are Betty Davis, Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte, and don't forget Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Yeah, we discussed The Nanny briefly before you came on, but those are two other great examples of Betty Davis playing evil women in films.
And if you got Betty Davis, you have to mention Joan Crawford.
Oh, yeah. What I wouldn't
have
given to get a time machine to be on that set with those two going at each other's throats on and off the set.
To be a fly on the wall, huh?
No kidding. And the poor director, I think they had to use a cattle prod.
Yeah. No, there's really, especially again more recently, a lot of female villains. But sticking with the old days for a minute, back in the 30s, 39 really, there was two. In fact, I did a show under the old name about 1939, because there were so many good films, and of course, both of them were witches. We're talking about, of course, Margaret Hamilton, who played the Wicked Witch of the West, and Elmira Gulch.
Oh, yes.
And also the evil witch in Snow White. How frightening was she?
Yes, now she has a name, Maleficent, or no, that was the other one. That's Sleeping Beauty. But
yes.
The remakes have made her even much more, I don't know, how should I put it, more maniacal, more, I think she's full of more venom, to be perfectly frank. I mean, the spin on it, now you have her in The Huntsman and whatnot.
They're a bit more evil as they're portrayed these days, but you still gotta give a nod to Walt Disney because he did have a few evil characters.
Disney was kind of a leader on evil women, when Cruella de Vil and the Evil Queen and Maleficent, and he was not afraid to make women bad.
No, the Queen of Hearts,
Queen of Hearts.
What's her name from 101 Dalmatians, too. I can't
remember
the name.
Cruella de Vil, yeah.
Yeah, Cruella de Vil.
Yep. And, of course, Helena Bonham Carter played the Queen of Hearts in the new version of Alice in Wonderland, and she plays another really evil character in the Harry Potter series.
Yes.
Beatrix Lestrange. Bellatrix Lestrange.
Her.
Who's absolutely not only insane, but just totally evil.
Another Harry Potter, the Dolores Umbridge.
Yeah.
In there is another. There are evil women all over the place, but they don't generally get to play in the movies.
True. What about Shelley Winters? Shelley Winters and Who Flew Annie Rue?
Oh, my. I'd forgotten all about that one.
She
I'm kind of partial to.
I'm
kind of partial to Annie Wilkes, Kathy Bates in Misery.
Yeah, you know what? As a guy who's written a few things, that movie scared me to death.
Misery?
Yeah.
It had a lot of tension behind it.
Oh. All because of an obsessed crazy fan, you know. And Dale, I know you fear that all the time.
The Initiation of Sarah, that's also with Shelley Winters. Kay Lenz and Shelley Winters. That was the other thing. She was very mean in that one, too.
You know, a lot of people my age really recall Shelley Winters in her latter days when she, you know, had gained a lot of weight. I remember seeing her first in the Poseidon Adventure. But in her younger days, when she was playing in Westerns and stuff, what an attractive lady she was.
Yes. The first movie, I think one of her first. Okay. Thank you. Just a moment. Sorry.
not to say that Shelley Winters was unattractive in her latter years, but, you know, she was very much more svelte. In the early days, I can't remember the name of a very good Western I had seen with her, and you know, she was the female lead and very attractive. It seems a lot of movies in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, the sinister roles in women are a bit crazy. I was always a big Clint Eastwood fan. I loved his Westerns. I loved his Dirty Harry movies. But there's two films of his that had some pretty crazy ladies in them that were rather sinister, and one was Jessica Walter, who played Evelyn Draper in the movie Play Misty for Me.
Oh, yeah.
Clint Eastwood's a DJ, and she's like an obsessive caller. I wish I had one of those. I know you intimated that I fear that, but I actually fear not having that, really. I fear not having any listeners. But I'm blessed to have people like you calling in. Andy Wilson, the winner of our channel's game show. Thanks for listening. Guest 747, whomever you are, thanks for listening. And friend and affiliate Matt Skelly's in the chat as well. Thanks, guys and gals for listening. Evil Annie Reppert, who is a misnomer, okay? I know we're talking about bad girls and villainesses, but there's nothing evil about Evil Annie. I see Evil Annie's posts, and that is one good human being right there. Anybody who loves animals is aces in my book. You know, I think the way people treat animals is pretty much how they treat people, for the most part. And it looks like we lost CW for a time. Hopefully she'll call back in.
Well, I'm just a little upset that we did all these Shelley Winter things, and yet one of her most evil roles that she did in Pete's Dragon. Come on.
Oh, that's right. Sometimes when you don't see the face in a film, it's harder to remember
that. That's true. Well, but that was one of the later year roles. Like you and I mostly remember seeing her on the screen for the first time.
Yeah. David, being my age, were there any particular female characters or female actresses besides, I mean, other than, you know, we both discussed Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, but were there any female roles that particularly scared you as a youth?
Upon occasion, you know, again, the Disney movies is where I remember more of actually the female villains. You know, the Bonnie and Clyde movies and things like that didn't really get it as much for me because, again, they kind of whitewashed their characters anyway, Warren Beatty.
Yeah, I think they were more of anti. Like,
and I looked
Bonnie
at the list
Clyde.
And I saw that one there several times, but maybe they were evil and they certainly had their problems, but they sure weren't portrayed that way on film.
No, I think in Bonnie and Clyde, Faye Dunaway, like you said, kind of whitewashed, but she was an anti-hero. I mean, yeah, they did horrible things. They shot up people in banks. They shot police. I don't want to get into that topic today, but But it was an anti-hero. She loved Clyde. She was a poet. She, you know, she had some characteristics that were appealing. And you know, Faye Dunaway was quite the looker in those days.
Right.
So
if they would have done it probably more to what they really were, it probably would have been scarier, but it was more of an action than it was scary, I thought.
Yeah.
Comes up on a lot of the list. Another one, that, of course, was Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, she was a meanie, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah, but then Mel Brooks got to spoof her in High Anxiety as well.
Yes, he did.
Forrest Leachman.
While we're talking about bad nurses, I thought the nurse in Kill Bill was pretty pretty sinister as well.
Yeah.
What do you, David? How do you feel? What do you think is more effective for a female villain? Someone who's extremely attractive yet evil, or someone who is visually unappealing that's very, very wicked?
Wow.
What do you think is, has a better effect on you.
I hadn't really thought of it that way before, but if the ones that are extremely attractive get more of the opportunity, but the ones I think that aren't quite as eye-catching, really, I think, may do a little bit better job at it, at least if they're presented. Because some are eye-catching but are presented not as such.
I hate to keep defaulting to Disney, but that witch in Snow White. Well, she was actually both, because as the witch, she was rather attractive, I thought. But with the evil sneer and the foul attitude, but she was pretty darn scary as the witch with the apple. You know, coming across as a nice old lady, but with sinister intent towards Snow White, with the poisoned apple. I don't know. I can think of one really deliberately unattractive villain, but it was kind of a comedy, and it fits the genre somewhat. The Goonies.
Yeah, that's true.
Mama Fratelli, you know, the leader of the mob, that were trying to get the pirate's treasure away from the kids.
Well, you know what's funny? You mentioned that, you know, being a leader of a mob, almost all leaders of mobs weren't really attractive women. Not many of them were that attractive that I can remember.
No, in a lot of the early
ones. They were always like Ma Barker or someone like that, you know?
Yeah. No, and usually in the early mob films, most ladies played the gun mall, you know, they were the attractive ones. It looks like CW has returned, perhaps?
Nope, she's got to put down hold. Hang on.
I'm back. I'm back. Sorry. Hello.
Welcome.
Can you hear me? Hello.
Yeah, we were talking about you. No.
Sorry about that. No. If nothing else, I wanted to give you a proper farewell. Just that, you know, I'm at work and I work for Republicans, so what can I say?
Wow.
Means you get Sundays off, other than that.
Yeah. Well, see, this is where I know you're not evil, because there are ladies in my past who gave no farewell and just disappeared.
So with that being said, I take it you're still available in the archive for show number one, where I can hear it from start to finish and also hear the end parties.
Don't do that, because you'll hear all the horrible things we said about you. No, I'm kidding.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Save that for the after party. No. It's very kind of you to call in while earning your keep, as it were.
Thank you. Just wanted to wish you well on the maiden voyage. So again, I'll be seeing you online.
Thank you very much. And yes, you will. And hopefully Erie House will be rebuilding some sort of a television broadcast. Again, it's without my former partner, it's going to be very, very challenging. They are hard-working folks, and very best to them in their future endeavors.
To be sure. So, all the best in all endeavors.
Well, very sweet of you to call on the maiden voyage. It's a long time since I've been on a maiden anything. So,
but again, off I go, and till next time.
Thanks, CW.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And thanks for the great topic, by the way. So many evil women.
No, I think the proliferation of a lot of the female villains have come with the advent of all the new superhero movies. You know, even you know, all the Batmans, the animated series and things like that, really kind of brought to the forefront all at one time. There's more now than there ever has been. You know, but when you get in with the X-Men and all these other superhero movies that have come out, it gives the women more opportunity, I think, to be the bad guy.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. I think comic books were ahead of the curve in bringing minorities in general. I don't know if you can consider women truly a minority, because I believe 52 or 51% of the population.
She's 51, yeah, the population. So, yeah.
is female, but Hollywood has burgeoned, so to speak, with roles from people that that have. You know, that are from alternative backgrounds, or they're giving ladies far more roles. I mean, look at the new Ghostbusters. It's going to be all female cast. It's making some people cringe.
What do you think of that?
Personally, I don't like it, because it's been said that Clevelanders don't like change.
That's true.
And I think I fit that stereotype to a certain degree. I don't like where Marvel's changing the races and the genders of characters. Just create new ones. What a great opportunity to bring someone new to the forefront.
But Hollywood doesn't know how to create anymore. They just either make a sequel or just redo it.
Yeah.
That's because they know, well, with familiarity, we probably got something that'll work.
Yep. With a little more than a minute to go for the live portion of Erie House's first broadcast. There, I didn't misspeak again. I just want to bring a few other characters to light here. In the movie From Dusk Till Dawn, Satanico Pandemonium, played by Salma Hayek, was very good in that. Jennifer Tilly in Bride of Chucky. Very good role. Ginger Snaps had some famous femme fatales. House of a Thousand Corpses had a couple of evil ladies. Baby Firefly, played by Rob Zombie's wife, Sherry Moon. And also Faye Dunaway got to play Mother Firefly in the second movie, Devil's Rejects. And Karen Black played her in the first movie, House of a Thousand Corpses. Gosh, there's just so many. Haven't hardly had time to mention them all. We've got just a few more seconds in the live portion of the show. Want to thank all listeners again. Andy Wilson, Evil Annie Reppert, a couple of guests who listen in. Thank you very much. And we will see you on the Facebook pages of Erie House and here on Erie House Radio until we can get a new TV channel going, and that will be soon, a few weeks. Bye-bye. And thank you, Dave. We're in the after party.
Oh, hey.
Trying to crack open a couple of cold ones.
Well, see, what's that? Having a couple of cold ones, are you?
Yeah, water.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
But
that's
cold.
The age we're getting now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, with my sugar, I can't imbibe.
Well, that's true.
Spirit.
That's true. They don't have sugar-free Bud yet, do they?
Well, I think alcohol is pretty much a sugar-based product, so it's something I indulge in extremely infrequently anymore. Which I don't miss it. I mean, it's fun, but it's just one of those things. I started touching on Clint Eastwood in Play Misty for me, but there's another one with a whole group of pretty foul-intentioned ladies. Do you ever see the movie Beguiled with Clint Eastwood? It's a Civil War picture.
Actually, I haven't, no.
It's a very, very good film. Very, very good film if you get to see it. I'll give you the outline without giving too many spoilers.
Okay.
Beguiled takes place in the Civil War, and he's an injured soldier from the South, I believe. No, excuse me, from the North. But he's in the southern part of the United States, and it's a school for girls that he happens upon, run by a very controlling woman. And a couple of the school for girls has a couple of older teens, you know, maybe 17, 18-year-olds. There's like a 13 or 14-year-old and a very young one. Well, Clint Eastwood is a very attractive man, so all the ladies, including the very young one, not in a romantic way, but they're all vying for his attention, and things get ugly, and that's all I'm going to say. It has a very, very surprising ending, and it's a very good movie. Highly underrated, I think, especially for Clint Eastwood's films. I mean, he he's known for the spaghetti westerns, he's known for the Dirty Harry movies, he's known for a lot of his later body of work, and he's very well known for directing now, some great films.
That's a wonderful
Yeah, it's funny. I just saw for the very first time not a week or two ago, Gran Torino.
Oh, he was and he directed that as well. Absolutely.
Well, and I was especially interested because he played someone with the last name Kowalski, but I digress. But he still played
if
a good character
enough,
nonetheless.
Use your name. But
yeah.
I enjoyed very much so when he directed the Space Cowboys.
Yes. Yeah.
So he's done some absolutely. He has directed some wonderful films.
If you get a chance to see Beguiled, I highly recommend it. It does have some horror aspects to it, so I would highly recommend you see that if you get a chance.
I see it's right here on YouTube, so whether it's public domain or not,
if the studio has a YouTube channel, there are some things you can watch like that. If they're not making any money in distribution, why hide them, you know? Give us a chance to see these.
Absolutely.
How did we get this far without mentioning Glenn Close?
Oh my! In several different venues, she's been she's one of those good villains.
Yeah, I'm thinking Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction, but I'm trying to think. There was she also in the live action version of 101 Dalmatians. She was also Cruella de Vil in that.
I almost forgot about that.
And I'm sure there's a couple others that she did there as well. It's like Cloris Leachman. Didn't have the look so many times she got to play a person, especially in early television, a person that was a little rougher. Well, in early television she was cuter, but as she aged a little bit, she didn't get quite as nice a role. She got to be the bad girl sometimes. And those are
how about two guys very bad girls
were better looking end up with bad. Good character roles. They're better roles than being the good-looking guy most times.
There's another one with her and Goldie Hawn. What the heck was the name of that movie with Bruce, Die Hard Bruce.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, Death Becomes Her.
Oh yeah, that was Bruce. That throws me off because the picture they have of him there with his mustache, he always looked like Martin Mull to me, you know.
Yeah, he did. Funny you should mention that.
So yeah, so there's more than one film. I bet you if we went through IMDb, you could find quite a few roles for Glenn Close that weren't where she didn't play a real nice person.
No, and. You were talking about comics, notably, I think, Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman.
Catwoman and, you know, Poison Ivy and so many of the characters from there, Harlequin, you know.
Yes.
And that's one I think is just coming out, but, you know, you had some of your Mystique and some other female characters from the X-Men movies and such.
Mm-hmm.
It does give them the opportunity to really to have the best parts usually are the bad parts, and the reason the good guy is so good is because the villain is so bad.
Yeah, and
the better the villain,
who,
the better the hero.
You know, Vincent Price used to he was interviewed a lot. I mean, this guy could do anything. In fact, I even saw him do stand up on the old Mike Douglas show. It was great. At the end of his routine, he said, "Well, did I kill you?" But
a good actor has the timing, and it's timing that makes a comic or a comedian.
He pointed out
exactly
what.
There are people who can be comedic actors who can't tell a joke, though.
No, and
Jack
and
Benny was one.
Price brought up exactly what you said. He mentioned how much fun it was for him to play the bad guy. He did. He never resented it. I don't think he resented anything. He was just a hardworking, good guy. You know what I mean? But
right.
But I think he got it. He got it that playing a villain could be a lot of fun. The success of an actor, I think, or any piece of entertainment is to make people emote. And you can make them cry. You can make them cheer for you, but when you make them hate you,
there are actors and actresses that have gotten hate mail because they're so bad on screen, whether it be the big or the small. And those are the best roles.
Yeah, I think so. I always thought when I was a kid, and I never really fancied myself as an actor. Or wanting to be an actor. I like working things behind the scenes a little more. I think you have a little more, and maybe I'm a bit of a control freak in some ways. Put a disclaimer on that. But maybe not. And maybe I'm not the only one. But I digress. But when I thought about acting or doing anything like fooling around with drama class, I always wanted to play the heavy. Number one, I never fancied myself as a leading man. I don't think I have the looks to be a leading man at anything. And I have a hat. Yes, I have a couple
hats.
Right. I always thought, oh, it would be so cool to play a villain. Yes, it would. And I think maybe that's where some women have the advantage, and we touched upon it earlier, because women are, historically, at least for guys our age, have been the genteel gender, you know. Mrs. K is a great example of the penultimate nurturer, someone who, you know, the kids can take their problems to. She takes care of pets. They love her. And all living things love her. Mrs. K is a cross between Cinderella and Snow White. I plant her in the backyard, birds will land on her and stuff. I kid you not. And so said, when a woman turns evil, look out.
Yep. That's why we all have to be careful of our Yahoo accounts.
Yes. Or any other secret accounts, but I digress. of anything.
Yeah.
Because hell hath no fury. As a woman.
Yeah, you know what? For a while, I actually did a series of about 30 half-hour radio dramas, most of which I wrote, and I did. I usually took a small bit part in most of them. Once I even played just a parrot, but the one time I took two times I took fairly major roles, they were both the bad guys in there. So
cool.
I guess like you said, you didn't really fancy yourself being the good guy for whatever, but the bad guys are the better roles.
If you ever want to do that again, I'd be interested. I've been wondering about expanding the radio program to more than just one show a day, a week. I can do as many as one a day. I don't know that I have the energy nor the time since I have to actually work
right.
for a living.
Right.
But I'm a huge fan of the old radio shows. I wouldn't mind hosting them, although some of them already are hosted. So maybe I could be a host of a host.
There you go.
But I also thought if I could get enough voice actors, it would be fun to do some radio dramas. Maybe not even every week, but periodically throw them on there as like a bonus show for Erie House.
Yeah.
So that's something.
Links to the ones I've done there. It's a.
Yeah, I want to hear them.
It was an interesting time. My wife and son, youngest son, think it's the best work I've ever done.
Hmm.
But I still have a lot more fun doing the movie show. So.
Well, and it shows. And that's one thing I've always said about horror hosting is it shows when you're having fun, when you're relaxed and the people around you are having fun. That's, oh, God, how I miss Clink, because that guy just knew how to have fun. That you couldn't stop him from laughing.
I love the sketch you had where, you know, you were trying to get a job and he pulled him in so that you could be a stand-up comic. And he laughed at every word she said. You know, it was just
I didn't even have to write that because that's Jim. That was Jimmy. The guy loved life and he loved everything and he found humor everywhere he could find it. And that was a skit that almost wrote itself to some degree because at that time I was between jobs.
So our art imitated life in that case.
Absolutely, and most deliberately. I like to spoof myself at times because funny things happen to me.
It's all a matter of how you look at it. I've written sketches and done things on things that I stupidly did. Yes.
Oh God, I'd love to write a skit. One of the funniest things I ever did. I was over a friend's house, and we were young, so we were maybe a little inebriated or something else.
Yeah.
But his kitchen was very, very small, and there was like a little niche area where he had an up and down, you know, refrigerator, freezer, and there was maybe about 3 to 3.5 feet of space at most between that and the stove. So there's something cooking on the stove, and I'm getting myself a cold drink, right?
Yeah.
I open up the freezer, and the ice cube tray drops, lands on my foot. I bend over and go, ow, burn my behind on the stove, ow, I bolt upright and hit my head on the freezer door, ow, ow, and I didn't know which to hold, my foot, my bum, or my head. So I'm hopping around.
You need another hand there, man.
Yes, I did. And a lot of aspirin, but I would just love to recreate that because it's not something that happened by design, but my friend, like, I think one of the greatest ways of showing comedy is when you can make someone pass something through their nose, like a ho-ho.
Okay.
That's a sign.
Hey, remind me away from you when you're doing practical jokes next time.
Yes. We got probably about 30 seconds or less, so if we get cut off suddenly, you know the deal on Blog Talk. They don't give us a warning on the end of the after party, so let me take this time to thank you for calling and sharing time and making
Welcome
episode one
show.
Of Erie House. A real joy to work on.
All right. Hey, keep going.
Well, we will. We, meaning me and my alter ego. Absolutely.
At least you got somebody to talk to.